I am not Dan Marshall. I saw a lot of new faces walking in the door, so I want to make sure you know that. Make sure and come back on a Sunday when Dan's preaching so you can hear the good stuff. I'm David Mervish. Most of y'all know me as Merv. You know, when Brian got up to preach a few weeks ago, because we like to give over the summer, we like to give Dan a break. And we're also an elder-led church here, which means that we're all supposed to be able to teach, and we need to do that in more than just a small group Bible study. We need to do that in a setting like this. So we kind of killed two birds with one stone there. When Brian Braswell got up to preach, now that we are broadcasting over the internet, he didn't know whether he needed to ask for money for a new private jet. I'm starting to think, since I gained my COVID-15, does the camera really add 10 pounds and I've got COVID-25? So we're going to find out about that whenever I'm watching this afterwards to see how big I look. But I knew I was supposed to preach for a couple of months, and I don't know if any of you were here on July the 5th, but Dan did a sermon on seeking the kingdom of God, and it was amazing. He went into depths. It was so good to see what a truly gifted pastor could do with a message like that. But the message that I took away from that was, never talk to your pastor before you're supposed to preach about what you were going to preach about. He stole my sermon. I was going to preach about seeking the kingdom of God. So Dan and I were sitting around talking. We were sitting at Stripes on Copperfield Drive, and it's like, I'm not sure what God's calling me to talk about. Dan said, well, forgiveness has been on my heart. And we got to talking about that, and he said, you know, there's a lot of people who, like, they know they're forgiven, but they don't feel like they're forgiven. And I started thinking about that. I was like, okay, this is good. And I went looking through some of my past sermons because I talk about forgiveness a lot. And it's August 2020. And the last time I spoke about forgiveness from the pulpit was August of 2016. So just like Dan talks to y'all every January about reading your Bible, I guess coming and talking to you guys once a year about forgiveness is going to be my thing. So if you're looking in Matthew chapter 18, you might see some notes and go, hey, wait a minute. This is from when Merv preached 4 years ago. Not going to be exactly the same message. The great thing about the Bible is you can look through verses and there's lots of different truths we can talk about even looking at the same passages. It's another thing I want to give a caveat to this morning is there's going to be some passages that I'm talking about that you may say, oh, well, whenever I read this passage, I always think about it in this context. I want to make sure that you don't lose sight of the message for today, that just because I'm preaching about using a verse in a different context doesn't mean that the way you've heard that verse is wrong. That's the way a lot of times we can be listening to a message and the devil can be a booger to us and he gets us focused on what we think the verse is supposed to be about, not realizing, oh, there's a different way that we can look at things as well. So as we're going through a lot of passages, I'd like you to be thinking about that as well. So, you know, that thing for Dan when he was talking about that people know they're forgiven, but they don't feel like they're forgiven. I got to thinking through that. There's a few things to look at that forgiveness and why do we have that? One of those, you know, a lot of times when we're in a dark place, like we lose sight of who the Father really is, his love for us. Sometimes we don't feel like we're forgiven because we don't experience what forgiveness is really like. And then one of the big ones is, sometimes all of us, me included, we're horrible ambassadors for Christ when it comes to what forgiveness is supposed to look like. So those are the things that we're going to be touching on today. Again, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21. This is the parable of the unmerciful servant. Jesus is talking to his disciples here, picking up in verse 21. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that they had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Then the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. So we'll get to the rest of this parable. Wanted to start on that section. So back in verse 21, you've got Peter talking to Jesus. Jesus had just been talking the parable about forgiving your brother. And in the Jewish culture, under the law, you only had to forgive somebody three times. After three times, you were good. You didn't have to forgive that person anymore. So Peter was trying to seem like he was loving and being magnanimous. So what do we do, Jesus? Do we forgive him seven times? I mean, that's twice as much as I have to. And Jesus' response here, no, Peter, this is why I love Peter, because every time I screw up, I can always remember, man, Peter screwed up all, like he was with Jesus every day, and he still screwed up all the time. He could never get it. It makes me feel like, okay, it's not so bad when I don't get it, and Dan has to preach something 15 times to me. But Jesus answered to him, no, I tell you, it's not seven times, but 77 times. So Jesus wasn't sitting there saying, hey, keep a tally mark and get to 77, and you're done. What he was really trying to say here is that, hey, you need to forgive somebody an unlimited number of times. And the reason you do that, he got into this parable about the kingdom and the master forgiving the servant. So the important part of the message or the parable here isn't the money, but everybody looks in verse 24 and they say, what was 10,000 talents? What was that? So 10,000 in Greek numerals, 10,000 was the largest number that they had back then. And a talent was the largest sum of a money denomination. And what a talent added up to was the equivalent of 75 pounds of silver. So basically, this servant owed his master 750,000 pounds of silver. The spot price of silver today is about 24, 25 bucks. So it equates to about $294 million is what he owed him in today's dollars. So really, if Jesus was telling that story today, he'd say, hey, this servant owed his master a gajillion dollars. That's basically what he was saying. It was no way that he could pay it back. But the accounts needed to be settled up, and there was no way that the servant could pay it back. But he said, have patience on me, and I'll pay it back. Well, if I told you that you owed me a gajillion dollars and you said you'd pay it back, you're going to know, like, there's no way. There's no way that you're going to be able to do that. So the master had to do something there. And that's where we want to touch on that first topic. Sometimes we lose sight of who the Father really is. All we think about is shame and vengeance and that God's not going to look at me the same way. What we really have to understand is how much God actually loves us. And when we think about this debt needing to be paid, you know, we go through and we look at, you know, very common verse that all of us know. You see it on placards at football games, if we ever get to do that anymore. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him is not going to perish. And I was thinking about that one this week, and it was like, man, there's a lot going on in that word gave. What does gave really mean? What it means is, for God so loved the world, he allowed his innocent son to take on all of our sins and become the sacrifice necessary to pay our debt so that we could be reconciled with God. That's a lot in the word gave. And you probably aren't going to have enough room in your notes to write all that stuff down, but I'd circle it or underline it and remember, like, that one word is encompassing a lot of what the Father did for us and how much he loves us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in 17 through 21, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's who God is. When we get into this place where, like, I know I'm forgiven, but I don't feel like I'm forgiven, I think a lot of that is we forget what God's character truly is like. And we think about bad stuff or punishment or those retributions, and what we need to be focusing on is we've got a Father, a God who loves us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his own son just to be able to have a relationship with Cameron, or with Henry, with each one of us. That's how much he loves us. And so you may be sitting there like, well, Merv, you know, Merv, I know that he loves me, but I still, I know it up here, but I don't feel it in here, in my heart. And the problem is because you don't feel like you're forgiven. You haven't experienced truly what forgiveness is like. And another passage we'll look at here is James in chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. Says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, there's a ton that we could go through there. If Dan was preaching on this, he'd probably preach on it for 2.5 months. I got to get through it in 2.5 minutes. One thing I want to call out here, when we see the word sick, we immediately think, oh, that must mean a physical ailment. Something's wrong. And that could be what he's talking about here. But a lot of times, what we need to think of when we're sick is God's more concerned about our spiritual well-being, not necessarily our physical well-being. So when you see that about if someone is sick, are you in a dark place? If God's supposed to be on the throne and we've set God off to the side and put anything else up there, I'm not going to say what it is because we all love to rank stuff, say, oh, mine's not as bad as something else. But as long as God's over here and the throne's over here and you're worshiping something else on the throne and not him, you're in a dark place. You're sick. And what this passage is saying is that when you realize that, and it's saying when you come up to the elders, not when the elders come up to you and say, hey, can we pray for you? Because you know, maybe you're realizing something's going on, but if you're actually taking that initiative, what God's saying is, hey, I honor that, and I want you to experience what forgiveness is like. And a lot of you may be thinking right now is, well, hey, wasn't I forgiven at the cross? Yeah, you were forgiven at the cross. But when we talk theologically, there's a couple of things that we're looking at. There's positional forgiveness. Hey, at the cross, positionally, you were forgiven. But there's also experiencing forgiveness. One of the things I like to think about it on is for marriage. So for Lori and I, if January 29th, 2000, we signed our marriage certificate, positionally, we're married. But if we went our separate ways, never went to any events together, never lived together, never raised a family together, did we really experience what marriage was like? Brittany just got engaged last night to Blair. Congratulations on that. But so you got engaged. So if you and Blair, if you go sign the marriage certificate, but then Blair stays in Houston and you're here and y'all don't do anything together, positionally you're married, but are you really going to experience what it's like? No. That's what we're trying to talk about here. Positionally, yes, we were forgiven at the cross, but we've got to be able to experience what forgiveness is like. The Father wants us to experience that. Give some other examples here. And Jude talks about, hey, keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, I thought Jesus kept me in the love of God. He does. But you've got to live your life where that you can show you're in a way that you're experiencing being in the love of God. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I thought I was cleansed at the cross. Well, you were cleansed at the cross. But what God's saying here, if we look back in 1 John 1:7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with God and with one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us. So your word may say cleanses in there. What the Greek verb there is saying, it's a present. It's continually. It's happened right now. So the blood of Christ is continually cleansing you. I thought I was cleansed. Well, you were. But when you're continually experiencing cleansing, how does that happen? I don't know. It's magic. There's a lot of questions I'm going to love to ask God when I get up in there. Like, how did that happen? I don't know. And maybe if you've got questions about it, since Andy made me the circumcision elder, Andy can be your cleansing elder. And if you've got questions about it, you can go ask Andy, what is Merv talking about? He'll be glad to answer those for you. But what God's saying is, I want you to experience what it's like to be continually cleansed. One of the things when we say, hey, I know it up here, but I don't feel it right here. When we're in that dark place, when we're sitting in darkness, what we're doing is listening to that lie that says, you know what, if I step out into the light, what's going to get exposed is that thing. Whatever that thing is, that God's over here and the throne's here and this is what I'm worshiping. But that's not what happened. What God is wanting is, hey, I want you to step into the light so you can feel what it's like to be cleansed, so that you can feel what it's like to walk. Go back here so I don't mess it up. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with God and with one another. He doesn't want you to be stuck in the dark. He wants you to step out into the light, not so that he can expose whatever that bad thing is that you did, but so that you can experience what it's like to be cleansed and to be next to the Father. One of the things when we were just a little five wide in the hayfield, it's another thing about the darkness. There was a kid named Austin Miller who was like 14 or 15 back then, Andy, something like that. And we had just got back from Oklahoma on a mission trip. And he said one of the most amazing things. I use it all the time. He says, I wanted to be with God, but I was ashamed because I felt like I was letting God down. But then I remembered I was never holding God up to begin with. And man, it was like you could have heard a pin drop because, you know, this 14-year-old kid amongst all these adults, it's like, wait a minute, yeah, he's right. And we all do that. Oh, I'll let God down. I'll get back to God when I start doing things better. No, you were never holding him up. He wants you to be there. He wants you to experience his love. Last thing we'll talk about here is us being an example of forgiveness to others. So if you go back in Matthew chapter 18 and look at verse 28, we'll finish the parable here. So a gajillion dollars that the servant was owed, and the master said, you know what? I'm canceling that debt. I'm going to have mercy on you. So what happened to the servant? Starting in verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. So a denarii was a day's wages. So he owed the guy 3 months' worth of wages. It was a sum. It wasn't a gajillion dollars. Owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And this verse 35 is one that hits me hard. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. That's intense. And you might be thinking there, well, you know, yeah, Merv, the servant, he was supposed to forgive. But you know what? We're not perfect. And people are really supposed to look to God. And, you know, this is just one verse. And Dan's told us when we're reading through the Bible, you really can't make assumptions off of one verse. You've got to see if it's backed up in other places. And Dan's absolutely right. And so after I read that verse, I was like, okay, what else does Jesus say about forgiveness? What else does the word say about forgiveness? So let me give you a few examples. Luke 6:37, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Lord's Prayer, picking up in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, it says, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's where most of us stop. We don't go on to verse 14 and 15 that says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, forgive so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. There's probably more in there, but after that many, it freaked me out a lot, so I decided to stop there because that's intense. And as much as even I try to have a forgiving spirit, like I'm not there yet. There's things that I can always improve on. But why is Jesus, why is the Lord, why does he speak so often and so much about we have to have that forgiving spirit? Well, it goes back to what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So in that chapter 5, the same God who made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become right, the righteousness of God, in that same section it said, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We are Christ's ambassadors. You've heard me say this a lot if you've been at Faith Bible Church for any length of time or around the youth. We're the Jesus example. We're the ambassador. We don't get to decide, hey, today, Sunday, I'm the Jesus example. But when you see me out here on Tuesday, I'm not the Jesus example. It doesn't work like that. Our heart of forgiveness is so important because people look at Christians and extrapolate what God's going to do. Whenever I have gotten up to preach and in preparation for preaching, I always like, is this what I'm supposed to talk about? Is this what I'm supposed to talk about? And God always throws something in. It's like, okay, yep, I'm supposed to be talking about this. So in preparation this week, had two different people from Faith Bible Church come to talk to me. They're in a dark place, in a bad place. This COVID, this separation that it's had from us, it's hurting a lot of people. One of the people said, Merv, I know I'm forgiven. Said, didn't know that I was preaching. Didn't know that I was going to be preaching about this. Said, I know I'm forgiven, but I don't feel like I'm forgiven. I said, well, why is that? Because the people who know what I've done, they're acting different around me right now. So I don't know if there's a Bible verse specifically. You may come in and say, well, where did you read that? Look, I read some stuff on forgiveness here, and I know that there's people who are out there that are looking at us to see what we do and how we act. And say, well, yeah, I know that Andy Vandeveer told me that God is forgiving and he's a loving God, and I can come back 77 times and God's still going to love me the 78th time and the 7,000th time. But when I watch how Andy acts, that's not what I see. And that's not for real. Andy's awesome. He's amazing. He's just a good example to use. So some of us, as we're sitting here, we're like, okay, Merv, like, I get it. I know we're supposed to act like this. God's saying we're supposed to be this way. But I'm just a broken vessel. And we're all broken vessels. And it's just something I'm going to be struggling with for the rest of my life. And I used to say that too. And then Pastor Dan came in, and this is the great part and the bad part about being in a church where the pastor doesn't skip over any verses. Pastor Dan, when he was reading 1 Peter 1:14-16, he says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, and this is from Leviticus 19:2, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And I can't do it justice, but usually when I hear that, you shall be holy, for I am holy, that's about the time I hear Dan doing his laugh cry thing at the same time. Yeah, but I'm sitting in the chair going, oh man, you rocked me. You rocked me, man. So I don't get to say, well, I'm just a broken vessel and I'm not going to work on being having a forgiving spirit, because that's not what I'm called to do. I'm supposed to be holy, because God says I'm holy, so you're supposed to be holy as well. Well, great, Merv, you're saying be a Jesus example. We don't get to have a choice, so help me out here. Well, let's look at the actual Jesus and his example. So we came to the table and he says, do this in remembrance of me. Well, what are we remembering? I get stuck a lot of times on Sunday mornings when we're doing communion and I'm just thinking about the scene, like I've got Da Vinci's The Last Supper pictured in my head and what's going on there. But like, what we're really supposed to be remembering is a guy who left that table and went to the garden and was praying so hard that his capillaries burst and he's bleeding from his pores. A guy who gets arrested, a guy who gets beaten so badly that there's not an inch of skin left on his body and he's hardly recognizable. A guy who's up on the cross and his father turns his back on him and he screams out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? In between those times, when he's up on the cross and people are cussing at him and they're mocking him and the soldiers are getting ready to cast lots for his garments, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Right before he becomes the sacrifice, pays the ultimate price for all of us, he's looking in his human form and asking his Father to forgive people. That's his spirit. That's what he's asking us to do. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God has forgiven you. So what does that mean for us? How do we apply that to our daily lives? There was a pastor, Thomas Watson, about 300 years ago, and he said, when he was commenting about the Lord's Prayer and the phrase, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, Mr. Watson said, forgiveness is when we strive against all thoughts of revenge, when we will not do our enemies mischief, but we wish well to them. We grieve with their calamities, we pray for them, we seek reconciliation with them, and show ourselves ready on all occasions to relieve them. That's a pretty biblical definition of what forgiveness and having a forgiving spirit is like. What I do want you to know, and this is something I talked about 4 years ago, and it's something we need to talk about today. Forgiveness is not absence of anger at sin. And forgiveness is not, well, I'm in an abusive relationship with my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my spouse, or my husband's beating the kids, or the wife's doing bad stuff to the kids. But Merv just said I'm supposed to have a forgiving spirit, so I need to stay in here and take this. That's not what I'm saying. I need you to hear me saying that. And if you are in that situation today, you need to come find me, one of the other elders, somebody here at Faith Bible Church that you trust, so that we can work with you and get you into a safe place. Having a forgiving spirit does not mean that you're allowing yourself to be abused. Having said that, one of the problems that we have is that we always like to put any grievance, any sin, anything into one of these exception categories so that we don't have to have that forgiving spirit. We want to use that as an excuse. And that problem is that when we claim that we're a Christian, but then we're an unforgiving spirit, what we're doing is we're not acting in the character of God. And then we get what I had this week, which was one of our members saying, hey, I know I haven't been to Faith Bible Church in a while, and I know I'm forgiven, but I don't feel like I'm forgiven because people who know what I've done, they're acting different around me. They're not acting the way that you say Jesus was supposed to act. Some of you may be thinking about a situation right now and you're saying, you know what, I can forgive, but I can't forget. I can have that forgiving spirit. I can forgive, but I can't forget. And I used to think that too, until, once again, when we were in the Five Wide and all of the Faith Bible congregation fit in about this space right here. And Pastor Dwayne was preaching, and he was preaching in Psalms 103, 10 through 12. It says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And then he talked about Isaiah 43, 25 and said, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. And I was the guy who said, I can forgive, but I'm not going to forget. And I'm sitting in the back of the Five Wide, and it was another time that a pastor at Faith Bible Church rocked me. Because why can I say I can forgive, but I can't forget, but God, who I spit in his face every day, says, I don't remember that. I love you. God, I'm sorry for, you know, that thing that I did 2 years ago that I know I told you about last month and the month before and the month before. What are you talking about? I don't know what do you mean? I don't remember that. So I had to get out of that mindset of forgiving but not forgetting. And for those of you who don't know my situation, it was a big one. When I was 9 years old, my parents were in the middle of getting a divorce. And my dad got drunk, drove up Texas Avenue here in Bryan, went to the Metro Center building, went to my mom's office, pulled out a gun, shot her, killed her. He got a 60-year prison sentence, served 20 years. If you're in the victim's family, then you get the right to talk to the parole board. If you're on the offender's family, you don't get that right. Well, I was in the victim's family. And I had that mindset, hey, I'm going to forgive you, but I don't forget. So I talked to the parole board about getting my dad out, and he was able to get out. But in my mind, I was going to put up these walls. Hey, you're not going to get to see my wife. You're not going to get to have that relationship. If we have kids, you're definitely not seeing your grandkids, because my mom's not getting to see her grandkids. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Well, how am I supposed to be a Jesus example if I'm putting parameters around this thing? And so I had to go to my dad and say, that's it. That we're not talking about this anymore. There's no parameters. He's been out for 14 years now, has an awesome relationship with Lori. Kylie and Taylor love their grandpa. It's an amazing relationship. And the awesome thing that God did with that wasn't, oh, Merv, you had this forgiving spirit, you're so amazing. It was, hey, you get to experience what it's like to be continually cleansed. Hey, I'm going to start putting people in your life who have no clue about your situation so that you can start talking to them about what's going on. A lot of times what we do in our life, I'll give you one example because this one always just trips me out so much. We were going to Birmingham for our youth mission trip, and I know I'm going to have to tell my story. And on Wednesday night, we go into an all-black church in Birmingham, and usually we would go out with wherever the youth kids were doing, but they said, hey, the pastor wants you guys to sit and do Bible study with the rest of the adults. It was their last week on their two-month study of forgiveness. And so I got to tell my story, and it was a really cool thing. And there ended up being a lady from a church in Dallas who was there who wrote me a note and talked about, hey, I'm going through a really bitter divorce, and I've said a lot of bad stuff to the kids about their dad, and I needed to hear your story because I can't imagine what it would be like if the kids didn't have their dad. God does some really cool stuff, y'all. It's amazing what he does for us. But one of the things that we do when it comes to forgiveness, when we've got this really big thing that we don't want to forgive somebody on, we don't start forgiving on those little things either. Because if it's okay for me not to forgive you for something that's small, then I definitely don't need to forgive you for something big. And I can tell you from what I've experienced, when you do that forgiveness on that really, really big thing, it makes everything else so much better. Hey, Dad, I messed up. I did X, Y, and Z. I love you. It's all good. For some of you, that big thing for forgiveness may not be against somebody else that you need to forgive. For some of you, it may be that thing for yourself, that you need to accept God's grace. God's forgiven you. He doesn't remember it. And it's time for you to stop remembering it. You're not that person. You're not that sin. For some of you, you're thinking, Merv, I get it. I believe it. I think I know it. But this pain, this is too much. It's too deep. The scars are too deep. I can't do this on my own. Well, let me give you a little bit of hope. You're not supposed to do it on your own. The Father and the Spirit is there to help you along with this. If we look in Luke chapter 17, verse 3 through 6, Jesus says, so watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea and it will obey you. Jesus is talking about forgiveness. The apostles who were with Jesus every day for years, we need help. He said, yeah, you're going to get help. You got to have faith. The Holy Spirit can change your heart. And it's the Spirit who can lead you to a place where even the most impossible things, you're going to be able to say, I can forgive. The last thing I'll leave you with, it's my favorite verse. It's Mark 9:24, because there's a lot of things in my life where I believe, or I know it, but do I believe it? And some of you may be saying, well, I believe it. Look, here's what I need you to know. If it's in your head, but it's not in your heart, probably need to assess the situation for yourself. Whatever word you want to call it, believe, know, whatever it is, if you know it in your head, but it's not in your heart, let's start looking at those things. And in Mark 9:24, there was a man who brought his son, his demon-possessed son up to Jesus to get him healed. And he says, if you can do anything. And Jesus says, if I can do anything. And the man replied, I believe, help me with my unbelief. So that's the message I'll leave you with. I believe it's okay to say, help me with my unbelief. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that here at Faith Bible Church. We are people who are able to be vulnerable with each other. We can talk about the things that we've done. We can talk about our hurts. We're here to help each other. That's what our job's for. We are not the perfect church. We are not the perfect people. We are the ones who can be vulnerable and be real with each other, and we're going to love you no matter what you did. Y'all pray with me. Father, we just want to thank you so much for the way that you love us, that you would give your son to pay our debt. That it doesn't matter what we've done, that you are going to say, step into the light, come be with me, come experience what it's like to be cleansed. Father, I ask as we go out through this week, through this month, that there's things that we need to work on. If we don't have you on the throne, if there's things we need to work on, help us. Help us find somebody that we can talk to here at Faith Bible Church that can be an accountability partner for us. Father, if there's things that we need to do as it relates to forgiveness, help us. Help increase our faith. I believe. Help my unbelief. And Father, we just want to say thank you for loving us, even though we don't deserve it. Amen.